You're listening to VFN TV highlights at VFNKB.com. Enjoy.
Did you know that Israel is leading the way for technology around the world? They're the most innovative nation in the world, and they're a sharer of technology. We're going to go right now to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu right there in Israel, sharing from Beersheba what's taking place. Check it out.
Good morning to all of you, the distinguished representatives of governments who are here, and all of you from private enterprise and the many companies and research organizations that are assembling here with Yigal Luna, the Director General of Israel's National Cyber Directorate. I want to welcome you to Israel. It's a country that has undergone many transformations. A few decades ago, the world was plagued by an incessant wave of attacks of airline hijackings. You remember that? You're too young, most of you. Some of you still remember that. Well, I remember that because I was on the team that forced our way, disguised as airline mechanics, into a Sabena airliner that was hijacked right here in Tel Aviv. And we overcame the hijackers. We had other such events. And to solve this problem, we needed not only an active policy of attacking the attackers, but also an active policy of defense. So we put Israeli high-tech into work, and we developed a door, a mechanical door. I mean, it had bolts, it had locks, real high-tech. You're not laughing. That door was amazingly effective, because the combination of our policy of storming aircraft, even if they were far away as Uganda, the policy of storming the aircraft when you can actually get to it, and conversely, defending the aircraft from allowing the hijackers to actually get to the pilots, basically made Israel immune to airline attack. And this success, of course, was followed by no one, practically. I mean, some countries did adopt airline security guards that we put in our planes, but they didn't really adopt this door until an event called 9/11. That's 9/11. And by March of 2012, every single American aircraft had these doors. Now we're being attacked by different types of attacks, and they require not mechanical doors, but protection for virtual doors, because our airlines can be attacked 100 ways. They can be attacked by ground control interference. They can be attacked by the systems within the plane and the communications and many, many other things. It is in many ways right now the most vulnerable, dramatically vulnerable system that we have. But as you know, everything today is vulnerable. So, and everything is under attack. I believe that civil aviation is the one area that requires the most immediate treatment for cyber defense, but it's one of hundreds. So what we're in the midst of right now is a change. What you can see in the story of the Israeli door to Israeli cybersecurity for aircraft and many other things is a shift from the old world to the new world. Here's the old world, okay? That's the old world. That's all of 10 years ago, okay? Here are the 10 leading companies in the world. They include 5 energy companies, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 1 IT company. Now shift forward 10 years, which is nothing, it's a blink of an eye, and you see this most amazing change. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 IT information-based companies, no energy left. All of these new companies, all of the top 10 companies, have major research centers in Israel. Not research centers, major research centers in Israel. These are some of the 300 that do. And in some of them, for some of them, these research centers are the most advanced that they have other, outside their home country. Now, why is that happening? It's happening because Israel invests, leads the world in investment in R&D as a percentage of GDP. It happens because we have more personnel, highest percentage of R&D personnel per 1,000 employees, by far. It happens because, it happens because we have a defense industry that we use to leverage to a civilian industry. Now, this has come into being into many, many industries have developed from this, but essentially what you're seeing here, this revolution that you're seeing from 2007 to 2017 is a revolution that is changing our world both economically and in terms of security. I think it'll also change our politics. And what it is basically the meeting ground between big data, IT, and connectivity. Everything is being driven from this nexus. Everything. Everything. For example, new industries are being formed. What's the first new industry that's being formed? It's right here in this room. It's the cybersecurity industry. Big data, AI, connectivity. Okay? There are many, many, many other industries that are being formed. Do you have the car industry? You have that? You have a car? Can you show us the old car industry we had? Yeah, we had a car like that. Okay, that's gone. Now we have Waze, we have Google, buying Waze, we have Mobileye, we have 500 companies, most of them started in the last 5 years, a new industry that deals with cars. Cars are becoming a computer on wheels, basically. And a computer on wheels, that's a new car industry, so we're in it. Big data, connectivity, artificial intelligence. Let's go back to cyber. That's the first industry because everybody else needs it. And here's what's happening to the Israeli cyber industry. It's growing, obviously, in sales. It's growing in terms of market share. In 2014, we were 10% of the market share of the global private investment in cybersecurity. By 2017, it's doubled. That's a very quick doubling. And it is now second to the United States. That tall tower there is the United States. The United States is bigger than Israel. But it ain't that much bigger than Israel. And Israel is number two. Israel is 0.1% of the world's population. And we are receiving 20% of the global share in private in private cybersecurity investments. That's 200 times our weight in the world. What this revolution is doing, big data, AI, and connectivity, is allowing small countries to be big countries. It depends if you have the brains and the system to create conceptual products at an accelerated rate, conceptual products that are at the cutting edge and give you a competitive advantage. If you do this conceptual mousetrap, the world definitely beats a path to your door. There's no question about it. It's happening. But this requires constant innovation.
Everything we have nowadays runs off the internet. Everything with our cars, refrigerators, toasters, phones, technology, media, and have security. Israel's leading the way for security over the internet. This is so exciting, so encouraging. Listen, what are your thoughts? Comment below, write to us at friends at vfnkb.com. We want to hear your thoughts about Israel leading the way again in the world in technology and cybersecurity. Think about it. Israel has 8 million people in population in their country, 8 million folks, but yet they're leading number two to the United States in technology and cybersecurity. Let's go back and join Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu talking about how they're leading the way for the world so we'll all have cybersecurity. Cybersecurity 2019 Beersheba. Take a look.
For that, we have a machine. That machine is forced on us. And I'll tell you how I figured out that we need to do something about this. I went to school in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and in MIT, and I lived in student housing. I used to go every day down to student housing, it's called Eastgate, to go to the Sloan School, which was about 50 meters away. And you're smiling, you were there too? Yeah? You lived in Eastgate? Westgate, whatever, okay. So you go down the elevator, walk along the sidewalk to get to the business school, and on the other side of the street, I see this big, ugly warehouse. Opaque windows, bars on the windows. Now, this is in the MIT campus. MIT is, you know, they have IMP buildings, beautiful, beautiful buildings. And what's this ugly warehouse doing there? 1972, I think. Okay. Or 74. And they said, well, that's CIA, NSA. That's the first time I heard NSA. The words. And of course, what it was a government intelligence investment smack in the center of academia, which produced Route 128, which produced Route 495, and the same thing happened in Stanford, exactly the same thing, and produced the Valley. So my idea is, why don't we do that here? After all, our NSA, which is called Unit A200, it's pretty big. How big do you think it is? Well, I'll give you a hint, okay? America, the United States, is about 42 times the size of Israel in terms of population. So how much bigger do you think the American NSA is relative to the Israeli NSA? No brave people among you? 42 times? 40 times? Ah, come on, it's not five times, but it's not 10 times bigger. It's not even 10 times bigger. You know the five eyes? Israel is the sixth eye? No, Israel is the second eye. So we have a tremendous sunk investment, whether we like it or not. To survive, you know, Israel's not that big a country, but it has to have a very big defense capability. So to survive, we need a very big head. And this head, we invest in. We take our brightest people and put them in. We look at the entire population. We go into the high schools. We're going to go into kindergartens very soon. Okay? So we need the smartest people. We put them in this. They run on the information networks. And then what? Then you could do one of two things. You can have a very, very constrictive business environment, and all of that goes to waste. Or they'll go to the Valley, which they did, many of them. Or they'll go elsewhere. Or they can be just frustrated, right? Or we can create a business-friendly environment, which is what we did, with many, many reforms. Many, many reforms. And this created, of course, the Israeli high-tech industry, which is centered around conceptual products. But specifically, we decided, I decided several years ago to turn Israel into one of the five cyber powers of the world, and that required allowing this combination of military intelligence, academia, and industry to converge in one place. And where we're doing that is in Beersheba in the south. That's where you should have this conference. Have you been there? No? Who clapped from Beersheba? Good for you. Good. All right. So here's Ben-Gurion University. That's the rail line to Tel Aviv. This is where we're putting our military intelligence. We're going to put even more of that. This is where you have the central command center for defending the country against cyber attacks. Here is the cyber park of some of the leading cybersecurity powers, and it's all within 200 meters walking distance. So we're creating in Beersheba now this complex that will encourage the same kind of development that we saw that I saw at MIT and that you may have seen in San Francisco. It's already happening here in Tel Aviv. We're just duplicating it there as a means of additional expansion, additional growth. What this means is that we have a sunk cost, but it could develop. What does it develop into? It develops into a business, enterprises, if we allow the graduates of our military units and our intelligence units to create companies. We allow them to create companies, and in order for the companies to develop, they need to make, what do they need to make? Money. They need to make money. Now, the easiest way to make sure that they don't make money is, one, high taxes, right? What's the other one? Regulations. Have you ever heard of regulations? We have a problem with regulations. So the policy we have is keep taxes low and keep regulations low. Minimize regulations. There is no industry more susceptible and more inviting of regulations than cybersecurity. It's like weapons. It is a weapon. And therefore, we made a conscious decision. I made a conscious decision. In order to have this growth of an industry that is going to be the biggest industry, one of the three biggest industries in the world, the biggest three industries, without a doubt, okay? One of the four, okay? It's cybersecurity. It's mobility, it's health, and it's food. That's it. These are the big four. This is inevitably going to be there because all the others depend on it. In order for this to grow, we want to have this as a huge business. We want our position in the world to continue. To do this, we have to make sure that we have economic partners. And the economic partners that we have depend on our ability to merge the graduates of our security units into a business community. And this business community relies on partnerships. You are our partners. This is why we're having this conference here. Cybertech reflects a policy. It reflects the fact that cybersecurity is not merely here to stay, it's going to grow exponentially. And it reflects the fact that what we have to do is to take certain risks and allow the graduates of our security services to merge into companies with local partners and foreign partners. In fact, we have so much growth in this area that we cannot meet the personnel costs. So we've done a program of cyber interns. If you haven't found out about it, you should call Igal Una and you should sign up. Send some of your people to be cyber interns in Israel with Israeli companies. Secondly, I think you should visit this center. Have you been there? Here? No? You haven't been there? Okay. How long are you staying in Israel? You have to go see it. I have to tell you, I'm taking now foreign leaders to come and see this. They're absolutely amazed. There's no other word. They're amazed. Because I think it's a center like no other. We have monitoring of attacks. Iran attacks Israel on a daily basis. We monitor these attacks. We see these attacks. And we foil these attacks all the time. Iran threatens us in many other ways. They've issued in the last 24 hours threats that say that they'll destroy us, they'll target our cities with missiles. We're not oblivious to these threats. They don't impress us because we know what our power is, both in defense and in offense. But the important thing is that any country can be attacked today with cyber attacks, and every country needs the combination of a national cyber defense effort and a robust cybersecurity industry. And I think Israel has that, and has that in ways that are, in many ways, unmatched. I hope that, I hope that you have a chance to visit Be'er Sheva, but I think that in, in many ways, what you're seeing here today is something that is being replicated throughout the world. That is, people from around the world come to Israel, and Israel is going everywhere around the world. There is such a thing that I call today cyber diplomacy. If you want to see it reflected on a map, look at the blue. The blue are all the new agreements that we have made and various efforts, around the world in the year 2017. I've been to Africa 4 times in 2 years, to South America, most recently in Brazil. We have, with the great powers of Asia, we have new agreements. Every single country here, in Israel's expanding diplomatic horizons, is talking to us about cyber. They all want to share in our knowledge of cyber defense. That doesn't mean that we share with everyone, and it doesn't mean that we share equally with those that we share. But we do have a general policy of cooperation between governments, and we have a general policy of cooperation with companies. This is why I encourage you to come here again, come to Be'er Sheva. We'll have to expand the facility to include all of you, or you'll just stand in line. But I think it's important that we can continue this cooperation for the defense of our countries and for the expansion of our economies. That's basically the message. So you're most welcome in Israel. You're very welcome in Israel. Come again and come to Be'er Sheva. Thank you and good luck. Thank you.
Well, this is powerful. Obviously, they're not in Be'er Sheva, but you're looking in Israel where they're talking to all these different nations saying, do you want to do an internship? I mean, think about that benefit of going there to be able to do an internship with the most highest tech people on the cutting edge.
In the world.
Because you have to, because of how dangerous it is to be in such a, small country and be threatened so much. It's amazing, you know, and it's just, I'm glad that they have that kind of security. I'm glad that, you know, America supports Israel and that our President Trump is standing with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and that he just won election in April there, April 2019. He's leading the charge, you know, and the things that are taking place. It's just exciting to see it. Thank God for Israel, how God's blessing Israel. And all of us are using technology and things that have been created in Israel. Just want to pray a blessing over Israel. Just want to pray for you right now. Comment below. Write to us at friends at vfnkb.com. What are your thoughts about cybersecurity and how Israel is leading the way? Specifically, how Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu was a key to each of these turns that they took as a country and how your country could do the same thing. Father God, I just pray a blessing, Father God, over each and every one that's watching and listening. We pray protection and blessings over Israel, Father God. We pray, Lord, that you would give them even more wisdom, Lord. We pray, Father God, for the enlightenment and salvation, Lord, of the Jews. We pray right now a blessing over America and over our audience, God. And dear God, we ask you, Lord, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray, in Jesus' name. And don't forget how easy it is. Love God. Love others and lead others to do the same. God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at vfnkb.com. And don't forget about our VFN KB app. No matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. Connect and sign up for the next webinar or attend our next summit at vfnkb.com. VFN TV and the daily radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.